Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This guy's on the inside. Now, here's Green Bay football insider Ryan Wood on The Fan.
Brought to you by PNC Insurance, an independent insurance agency for your home, auto, or commercial business needs at pncinsurance.net.
Let's check in with that dude who covers the Packers for the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com, and us right here on the Wendy's Big Show. There is Ryan Wood on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. How are you this afternoon, Woody?
Doing well. How's it going?
Doing well. I don't know if you were listening. We were talking with David Bakhtiari right before we got you on. He told us all about his bye week and what he did. What does a Green Bay football insider do with their bye week?
A lot of rest. Because I was so rested, I was able to do a corn maze and walk about 5 miles with my six-year-old yesterday, so that was nice. Yeah, not a lot of football. Really unplugged and didn't pay much attention to what happened yesterday. Checked the NFC North scores, obviously, but just a lot of R&R and getting kind of refreshed for the week and the weeks and the months ahead.
So you also didn't watch football? That's the same thing David Bakhtiari said. He said he didn't watch any football except a little bit of the Thursday night game.
Before I covered football for a living, I would watch every snap all the time. And don't get me wrong, I love the game. And there's a reason why I wanted to cover the NFL. But no, now that I am immersed in it every day, if I get a bye week, I am unplugging. Football is about the last thing on my bye week that I want to be paying attention to.
All right. Makes sense, I guess.
Makes all the sense in the world
to me. For sure, yeah.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about this trade deadline here. Amari Cooper goes for a first-round pick to the Dallas Cowboys. First, your thoughts on that.
Yeah, a one's a lot to give up, obviously, but and it's, you know, Amari Cooper's been good. I don't think he's been great. And the fact that he's had Derek Carr is significant because it's not like he's coming from a situation where – he had a bad quarterback, and that might have affected his numbers. Look, he's had a pair of 1,000-yard seasons, but I don't know if he's been a game changer that he expected. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, maybe he's the missing piece that they're looking for to team him with Dak, but a one's a lot to give up. There's no question about that.
Okay, so what does that then mean for a Patrick Peterson who's trying to get himself out of Arizona? I mean, if you're giving up a one for Amari Cooper, that has to, I would think, dramatically raise what they're going to get in return for Peterson.
Yeah, I think it gives the Cardinals a lot of leverage for sure. I don't know if it works exactly like player negotiations where if Aaron Donald sets the market, then Khalil Mack can just leapfrog him a week later and say, okay, I want to get this because it's more. But no, it certainly gives the Cardinals leverage in their negotiations. I would expect that they would get something more than a one. But, you know, a one is still a one. Just because one team overpays for an Amari Cooper, potentially, you know, a one for Patrick Peterson, if it's an early first-round pick, I you know, that might be enough.
Do you get the sense that, because under Ted Thompson, we weren't even talking about any potential trades the week before the trade deadline. We've already seen Brian Gutekunst sort of operate differently than what we saw from Ted Thompson over the years. Do you get the sense that the Packers are active leading up to the trade deadline, Ryan? Is that anything that you're hearing?
Depends on your definition for active. I think that certainly they're active in that they're making phone calls and they're talking to people around the league. Does that mean, you know, does active necessarily have to mean that they make a trade? I think that's to be determined and probably more unlikely than likely. Just because there's a lot of moving parts to actually pulling off a trade, it's a lot more than, hey, there's a deficiency on this roster. It needs to be addressed. You have an asset, go do it. You've got to have a partner to dance with. So I've said this before on this show. Years past, Ted Thompson's the GM. It's the week of the trade deadline. There's a clear deficiency like there is on this year's roster with an edge rusher. It would be very, very easy to just completely dismiss it. Oh, that's not going to happen. I don't think you can do that with Brian Gutekunst, but that doesn't mean that a trade is imminent either, because they are tough to pull off, especially in the middle of the season.
And the other thing is, this team needs pass rushers, and I don't really see any pass rushers that are out there and available on the market.
Exactly.
Have you seen any names out there?
No, no one that I would give up a number one for. I mean, that's for sure. I mean, if you go down the line, maybe there's some mid-level guys, but Brian Gutekunst and GMs in the league will have a much better feel for the layout of the land than anyone else. So I certainly don't see a huge blockbuster coming. That's why the Khalil Mack situation was so significant, because that is so rare that you get the potential to trade for a field-tilting pass rusher at a premium position. It just doesn't happen very often. I don't see anything like that, certainly, available this week.
Yeah, I think one of clock management, time. Oh, we talk about a lot of that kind of stuff. And McCarthy say he wants to do what he wants to do, whatever. But defense is starting to come to the point to where people have to step up and make plays. My question is, how do you think the whole process of Penn's defense starting to separate themselves from defenses in the past? I mean, if you're Don Capers, you're thinking, well, my defense can do that. I mean, he has to really separate himself this next, nine games, or people are just going to say that was just a complete failure.
Yeah, I'm someone that a year ago I stood up and said it wasn't Dom Capers. I still don't think it was Dom Capers' fault. I think without premier players on the defense side of the football, you don't play good defense. And I don't see game changers on that side of the ball anymore now than I did a year ago. The one difference, perhaps, might be that I think they are better in coverage, especially on the perimeter, not down the middle of the field, for goodness sakes.
Right.
But I think the perimeter of the field at corner, they're better in coverage than they've been the past couple years. But you need good players to play good defense. It's a player's game. Scheme is important, don't get me wrong, but it's execution. It's making plays that change games, and you need good players to do that. They didn't have them the past couple years, didn't play good defense. I haven't seen a lot of game-changing plays this season. I think we're about to find out, though, where they are in relative to the years past, because the one, if you had a signature issue for this defense the past couple of years, they have not been able to put up much of a contest at all against elite quarterbacks, the upper echelon franchise starters, Jared Goff, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson. They're all looming. Let's not forget Kirk Cousins, 5 weeks in Minnesota. They've got some good quarterbacks on their schedule that is upcoming. It's one reason why these next 5 weeks are so important.
Yeah, I think for the most part, I want to just know availability. When do they have to talk about injuries? I think maybe Wednesday or later in the week, or because I want to know about Geronimo Ellison, Cobb. I want to know how King's shoulder, if he's on injury report. When did these guys have to talk about injuries this week?
I think it's not to confuse you, but tomorrow will be Wednesday, and then Wednesday will be Thursday. The Packers pushed up their game week schedule a day. Usually Tuesday is an off day for players. Tomorrow, Tuesday, is going to be their first practice, and they're actually going to go out west to the West Coast on Friday instead of Saturday to give them an extra day to acclimate to the time change. And obviously it's a very grueling travel schedule they have coming up. So going out west, they want to get out there earlier. So I think we'll start to have an idea tomorrow. Mike McCarthy said that he's hopeful that Aaron Rodgers will practice tomorrow. It would be his first kind of quote-unquote Wednesday practice, even though it's a Tuesday, since he injured his knee week one against the Bears. So another sign of his progression. I would think that you're probably – you just had a guess, and Monday after a bye, so I'm just guessing. But I would think that Jaire Alexander has a good chance to return this week. I would think that both receivers, Randall Cobb and Geronimo Allison, have a good chance to return this week.
Yeah.
Rashad Breeland, I think he would too. I wouldn't be surprised to see all four of them, but we'll have to see when they actually start practicing and when the report comes out.
Last thing for me real quick, and then we have a few more seconds, which I think – Steve may have some. But if you look in this division, the Packers have to know that everything is starting to work in your favor to stay close. I mean, Chicago losing, and, you know, I know you still got Minnesota one, but you still – everything is still in front of you, all your goals. I'm sure they have to know that everything worked out in their favor, that the team that was in first place is coming back to the Pack.
Yeah, I caught a lot of fury on Twitter a week ago for saying that going into New England, the Bears were a point and probably about a yard from being 5-0. That's not to say the Bears are a good team. If you're a good team, you get that point, you get that yard. It's to say that the Packers and the Vikings, for that matter, are fortunate that the Bears were unable to capitalize on those opportunities to separate themselves from the rest of the division, because as it is now, in reality, it's all a hodgepodge. I mean, they're all kind of lumped together. And a big question, I think, going forward is how many, you know, the next 5 weeks, the next five opponents on the schedule are 23-10-1 combined. Now, the next five to close the season are 12-20. So it gets pretty soft at the end of the year. But how many games do they need to win over the next five for that to matter? I think if they could win two, go 2-3 in this stretch, that'd be awfully good for them. And they'd be sitting pretty for the last five. A big reason for that is because no one in the NFC North has seized control of the division.
They're about 70 rushing attempts behind the leader, the National Football League. They're 30th in the National Football League right now at 132 rushing attempts. McCarthy says today that, you know, they need to run the ball more. With all due respect, he says that every year at this point. So I'm not really holding my breath that it's actually going to happen. But in an ideal world, Ryan, where would you want to see them as far as middle of the pack, as far as rushing attempts, or where would you want to see them?
Middle of the pack, yeah, maybe, you know, 2/3 of the way down the list to middle of the pack.
I mean, there are only, what, three teams worse than they are at this point in rushing attempts. The one that's just above them in the standings, Atlanta. The other one that's dead last with only 115 rush attempts are the New York Giants. They're down there with the Packers. Pittsburgh's down there as well with a very few running attempts, which is surprising because Pittsburgh for a number of years was all about running the football. Mm-hmm. They haven't run the football nearly as much without Le'Veon Bell in there.
Le'Veon Bell.
Right.
Le'Veon Bell in Pittsburgh, yeah.
But tell him where the Rams are, Steve.
Rams are number one.
Oof.
I've thought for a couple weeks now that you might be looking at, especially in terms of personnel usage, Aaron Jones has got to carry a large portion of the workload over these next couple games. And if there is a long-term approach to prepare for the teeth of the schedule, perhaps it's Aaron Jones not getting more carries and touches the past few weeks so that he's completely fresh for now, because you need your best players to be touching the football against the best teams, the Rams, the Patriots. My thought for a few weeks now is that you're going to see Aaron Jones get the lion's share, but who knows? You know, I think it's going to be really interesting. I think he needs to, but that doesn't mean that he will. I think it's going to be very interesting.
Ryan and I were talking not football but baseball while the Brewers game was going on Saturday night.
We were
exchanging some texts, and I think I blew Ryan's mind a little bit with a big statement that I made. Sparky, and I'm willing to admit that it's a big statement. What are your thoughts on it? See if you agree with me. I said, maybe, just maybe, if he can stay healthy before all is said and done, we might be watching the GOAT in Mike Trout. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, maybe.
You asking me or Sparky?
No, I'm asking Sparky. You thought I was crazy.
Yeah, I don't know.
You thought I was absolutely out of my mind.
Yeah, that's pretty close, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've always compared him to Mantle. That's been the comparison. A lot of other people compare him to Mickey Mantle, too. Mickey Mantle's not that. But I think he's a really, really good baseball player that needs to figure out a way to get in the biggest series that everybody plays every year.
Right, so that's, people can actually see how good he is.
Right.
Well, in the context of our conversation, Robbie, it was also – because we're talking about kind of a Mount Rushmore's per, you know, because here in Wisconsin, obviously, you've got three MVP candidates.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers, Christian Yelich, and Giannis.
Yeah, that is how the conversation started. I forgot all about that. We were saying name another city or state that has an equivalent big three to what
we
have here in Wisconsin.
LA maybe with LeBron. Football, I said Aaron Donald. I think you said Todd Gurley. To me, Aaron Donald is probably the best defensive player in football.
Yeah, I said LeBron, Trout, and Gurley.
Trout, and I said Clayton Kershaw, because to me, like, Mike Trout's clearly the best player of this decade, but Clayton Kershaw is the best pitcher of decades. I mean, when's the last time we've seen a Kershaw? So to me, because of that, I lean more towards Kershaw.
I think they're both once-in-a-generation type of players, but I don't know. If we're talking about daily players, position players, I really think we might be watching the GOAT in Mike Trout. I don't know. We'll see how it all plays out, Ryan Wood. I'm just glad to talk some baseball with you, man. I enjoyed it.
It's fun. Yeah, it was. And you know what? It was fun to see the ride the Milwaukee went on. Look, I'm a Mets fan, so I know pain. My team lost the World Series when their first baseman couldn't throw to home. So I've been there.
How again did you become a Mets fan?
So I'm from Indiana, from a cornfield in Indiana. There's no professional baseball team in Indiana. My dad's from Queens. Grew up on Long Island.
That's how.
So yeah, it was the familiar tale of father and son bonding over baseball, which now I have since passed on to my 6-year-old, who is an absolute Mets monster. I think we've talked before that, you know, in like an 8-1 game with the Mets trailing in the ninth inning, he refused to turn the game off.
Good for him.
That's my 6-year-old.
I like that kind of
loyalty.
Let me see
if I got this straight.
Him right.
You went through pain and anguish with your team, and you decided, oh, let's pass that on to my son so he can experience the same crap. Why would you do that?
I know. First time I held my son, I apologized to him for being born a Mets fan. He didn't really have a choice. He was born into it, and it's not a pleasant life to live, but we live it anyway. You got to almost be kind of self-mutilizing to be a Mets fan.
Kids are going to get made fun of a lot in school. That's all I know.
That's our
being a Mets fan.
I hope not.
Because so far, Halloween's a bigger letdown than being a Mets fan.
And here's the first pitch, and the season's over.
Wow, that's every April. That's exactly it. Look, here's my life as a Mets fan. 1986, a little dribbler down the first base line goes through Bill Buckner's legs. The Mets get incredibly lucky. I was born 7 months later, and it's been all downhill from there. So I've never really... I've got two pennants that I've enjoyed, but one of them was a 5-game sweep. I mean, a completely domination to the crosstown Yankees, and then your first baseman can't throw to home, and he loses the World Series. So, yeah, it's been an adventure.
It's been a rough existence for you, baseball-wise. That is our Green Bay Football Insider, Ryan Wood, our guest every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday here on The Big Show. And you can find him inside the pages of the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com, and on Twitter at @ByRyanWood. Thank you very much, Woody. Appreciate it.
All right, we'll talk to you Wednesday.
And he joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start your journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval process from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our communities since 1935.
Young Express, if you're looking to become a successful transporter of expedited freight, there's not a better place to go than Young Express. Now, check this out. You get to kind of essentially be your own boss, right? An entrepreneur, you're going to run your own business and use Young Express to make a lot of money. That's pretty much what this whole thing means. Now, this is how it works. Successful transport of expedited freight simply means you drive for a living. You pick stuff up, you drop stuff off. This is what Young Express has been doing for 27 years. They've been doing this and been doing it very well. And their independent contractor base has been doing pretty well themselves. Got people making over 6 figures a year with Young Express. With the economy booming, Young Express is expanding in all departments, which magnifies the need to increase their independent contractor base. If you ever thought of becoming your own boss, now is the time. Maybe it's time to join the Young Express team. Live a stress-free lifestyle. Put the windows down. Turn up the radio to The Big Show. And drive, baby, drive. And you get paid for it, too. Why Young Express? They have a 24/7 dispatch team. Extremely dedicated. Take it very personally to keep drivers moving. If that wasn't the case, you'd be sitting in a city for a couple of days not making any money. You don't want that. At Young Express, you can go over the road 1 week and drive local the next. Mix it up. Local, regional, or nationwide driving. Minimal investment in your own vehicle. And they are looking for people that have cargo vans, sprinter vans, straight trucks, or tractor trailers. Young Express will provide you all the training necessary for you to become a successful transporter of expedited freight. They are looking for full-time independent contractors. Join the Young Express team today. You can find them at youngexpress.com. That's JUNGExpress.com. JUNGExpress.com. Young Express, success drives them.
We'll reset the big topics discussed on today's big show. Give you the final say on them with Great Lakes Dragway. Pick a lane right after this. It is that time here on the Wendy's Big Show, where along with the one and only Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and the Packer Hall of Famer Leroy Butler, I'm Rami Makhlouf, and here's what you have to pick from in Great Lakes Dragway Pick Lane. All Brewers in Pick a Lane this evening. Right lane, could or should they have done anything differently? Left lane, do you think this is just the beginning of a run for the Brewers? And the return lane, what's the biggest offseason need or change needed for this Brewers team? 414-799-1250. Or you can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Sparky, was there anything that when the seven-game series was over and the Brewers were on the short end of the stick, a 4-3 series loss and a 5-1 final in Game 7 where you went, man, if they had just done this, maybe we're going to work today and talking about a World Series.
Yeah, they would have just hit better. I mean, that really is it. And to sum it up even more than that, it's hitting with runners in scoring position. It's something that really both baseball teams struggled with the entire series was get guys on base, not drive guys in, leaving guys stranded. Both teams did it the entire series, and that's where the Brewers really cost themselves. You know, you get situations where you get the bases loaded against a pitcher and you can't drive runs in, that's going to be a problem. You know, you get that leadoff home run by Christian Yelich, and then after that, nothing. Couldn't get another run in the rest of the game. So I feel bad for Jeremy Jeffress that he had a couple of blowups in this thing. But that last one specifically didn't even matter. You still only had one run. You weren't able to get across another run regardless. It's going to take an almost perfect game, from your pitching staff to win 1-0 at that point. And it was down. You were down 2-1 just like that on a home run. The Dodgers won all year on home runs. They hit two. You won a lot on this year on home runs. You hit one. Game over. Time to go home. I just think it's very hard to question counsel on a lot of stuff. If I know there's people questioning why he kept riding with Jeremy Jeffress. Gary summed that up earlier in the show. You can go back and listen to that on the podcast at 1057fmthefan.com. I just need to score more runs. That's it. End of the day, they had to score more runs.
And that's just guys not hitting, not making contact at the plate. There, you couldn't have done that differently necessarily, right?
Nothing counsel could do.
Would you, because I will say this, I'm not a guy who is almost ever calling for a bunt in almost any situation, but that 13-inning loss, you had twice, now only in one of the instances did I say I would have bunted, twice you had a man on second with nobody out and did not put down the bunt. I said I would have done it either with Orlando Arcia or pinch hit Orlando Arcia in that situation if you didn't trust how he handled the bat.
Did you see Machado?
In a bunting situation, I did see Machado, yeah.
3-2 count.
Yeah.
Drive is down a perfect bunt to get on base instead of that
2-run
homer.
He's never bunted with two strikes before that.
One of the cleanest bunts you'll find, too, as he drops down and makes sure he's not going to pop it up.
Quickly, who on this team could pull that off?
I haven't seen anybody
do it. Maybe Yelich.
I'm not going to say nobody could. I'm just saying I haven't seen anybody do it.
All I'm saying is I don't think that the philosophy of David Stearns and Craig Counsell is going to change next year because you all wanted Arcia to bunt in the playoffs. I don't think they care. I don't think their philosophy is going to change. I don't believe they believe in that style of baseball and in what it does. So I wouldn't get your hopes up that, oh, boy, now next year they're going to bunt. No,
they learned their lesson.
They're not going to bunt. Bunting is all but dead in baseball. So you might as well just give it up and move on.
So that's the right lane. Could or should the Brewers
what it is.
Have done anything differently where we'd be talking about a World Series today instead of coming up one game short? 414-799-1250, or you can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Moving to the left lane, Leroy, do you think this is just the beginning of a run for this Brewers team, or are there brighter days ahead, in your opinion?
No question. As soon as the game was over, I mean, I looked and said, well, how many of these guys you got under control? How many of these guys you have to wait to arbitration? Who are you going to flip, trade, or whatever? But this team is on fire for the next 3 to 4 years. And I'm going to gauge that based on how long you have Yelich and Hader, okay? If you got these guys around for a while, you're going to win. So I just want people – I don't want people to think this is just a one-off. And then you go back to being bad. Those days are over because the guy sitting up in that chair, Stearns, he's done this thing the way that he thought that would be the best way to do it, and his manager. And, you know, when you come away from, you know, one or two runs, you know, a couple of years ago it was one game from getting into the playoffs. Now you're one or two runs to going, you know, in the World Series. And I think this is the beginning of it. We will have that parade one day. You have to think about that because you got so much talent. You got some young guys in AAA, AA waiting to come up, and you only – let me get my piece of paper out. Your payroll was $108 million. Now, as Seth wanted to round you up to 110, 110. Say you add $20 million to that and you're 128, which I think the owner will do, okay? I think he will do that if, you know, if it's – you know, if it looks like it'll work. You know, I think Stearns can convince him of that. Then you're going to be so stacked, you're going to have to trade some of the younger guys, maybe trade some of the other guys, some of the other veterans. But you're going to be good for a while. So I think you know, the window is wide open for the next 5 years, but I want something in the next 3 to 4. Because after that, you may have to reshuffle your deck again, and then I'm going to have to look at some analytics numbers that'll back up my argument. I think these guys are just good because I think they can – and we did something earlier. One of you – I think it was you, Robbie, about the four runs thing. About that should be the goal now. Because if you would have scored, you know, 4 or 5 run average that, you know, you're going to win a lot of games.
And there are three victories. The Brewers didn't score fewer than 4 runs. In the 4 losses, they scored a combined 7 runs.
Right. And see, that those are the
numbers – they score 4, they win.
You know, those are the numbers people don't like. But those are real numbers that David Stern is why he got this job. He's an analytics guy.
Right.
So I think, yes, it's very bright. It's so bright, you could put on some shades.
So that's the left lane. Do you think this is just the start of a run for the Brewers? 414-799-1250, or you could tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. And moving to the return lane, if it's going to be that bright future that Leroy is talking about, we're all hoping for, there are going to have to be some improvements, some changes made, and that begs the question, what's the biggest offseason need or change needed for this Brewers team? 414-799-1250. For me, Sparky, I look at this thing, and depending on how they handle the contracts of Moustakas and Scope, if no other additions are made, we might be talking about the same catcher, second baseman, and shortstop, or a very similar situation at those three positions as what they started this season. And I don't think they can't afford to go another season getting very little, if any, offensive production from the entire middle of their infield. I think whether it's bringing back Scope or whether it's bringing back Moustakas and putting Shaw at second base, or whether it's calling up Hira, or whether there's a D option out of all those, they have to have a plan to not have that same thing happen to them, to not start the season off with very uncertain situations, especially offensively at catcher, second base, and shortstop. That's the biggest need that I think needs addressing for me.
I want the rotation with my young guys in the rotation. That's what I want out of this deal. I want Woodruff, Peralta, and Burns all in the rotation with Chacin, and then find me a 5. It doesn't matter to me who the other guy is. You trade for Sonny Gray. You can roll your dice with Jimmy Nelson. Do whatever you want. But I want my 3 young guys in Chacin in the rotation. And I just had a person tweet at us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Where is it here? Here it is. Corey says, I worry that by doing that, you deplete the bullpen too much. You would need to beef up the pen in free agency. And I simply responded, it's a lot cheaper to fix your bullpen than it is to fix your starting rotation with starters. It's a lot cheaper. You can get a really good bullpen guy for, what, worst case, half of the cost of what a premier starting pitcher
right.
is. Probably more or less a third of what a premier starting pitcher is at this point. So that's the way I would go about it if I was the Brewers. I agree with Rami. You have to figure out what you're doing at second, catcher, and shortstop. I'm fine bringing back Pena, just if nothing else for his defense. I think he's a better hitter than what he showed for a majority of this year. Second base, I don't know. I think it's either Scope or they go with Perez maybe every day, or they sign a free agent second baseman. I don't think Keston Hira, maybe. I don't think he's ready, but
you don't think
he can hit. He can definitely hit now. He may be ready to hit at this level. I just don't think they bring him up now. Maybe they bring him up, you know, in August and September at some point.
How does that
maybe
work
in September?
If you bring him up to where you get control of him and all that kind of stuff?
You get so many years of options or whatever else. Yeah, that's how that would work.
If you bring him up after that you've played, I believe it's 40 games, then you don't have to pay into another full year, Leroy, of payment
right.
as service time. So if they pull him up, say, mid-May, like when they brought up Braun, they've brought up a lot of different guys at that time,
right.
then you don't count a full year towards the service time, and you get pretty much a free year.
Right. So I just think they're going to try and fix that with a veteran-type player at second base. If they bring back Scope, he's going to be your second baseman. Simple. RC is going to start at shortstop, I would imagine. Third base is Shaw. First base is Aguilar. Outfield is set. Pena at catcher. And away you go. And then you just have to work on what you're going to do for your bench because Granderson's not coming back. I don't think Moustakas is coming back. So you'll have to work on sacking that bench. We haven't even brought up Eric Thames. You
still have him under contract for another year.
$6 million with an option for $7 million, I think, the following year. Mm-hmm. So do they trade Eric Thames? Do they bring Eric Thames back and have him be the platoon guy with Aguilar again? Do they go back down that road again?
Wouldn't
surprise me if they did the same thing that they did last year with the roster. Thames stays on the roster for another year and is that power bat off the bench when you need him late in games.
So we've reset the big topics discussed on today's big show. Now you get the final say. Right lane, could or should they have done anything differently? Left lane, do you think this is just the beginning of a run for the Brewers? And the return lane, what's the biggest offseason need or change needed for this Brewers team? 414-799-1250, or you can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Let me tell you about Beauforting Beer, a premium craft beer from the country of Luxembourg. The brewery is family-owned, and they've been brewing it to the same high standards since 1764. So you ask, how did a European craft beer get to Milwaukee? Well, it all started at Luxembourg Fest up in Belgium, Wisconsin a few years ago. A family brought Beauforting to share with festival goers, and the entire supply was gone within minutes. The reaction was so enthusiastic, the family founded a company to bring it to Milwaukee full-time. Unlike other imports, everything in the Beauforting lineup is smooth. Over 250 years of brewing expertise have been devoted to ensuring the highest drinkability. The Beauforting lineup includes the flagship Pilsner, which is light, crisp, and refreshing. The triple is strong, yet unbelievably smooth. That describes me, but more so the Beauforting triple. 8% alcohol by volume, yet very, very drinkable. Very rare. Enjoy it, but enjoy it responsibly. And new this year to the Beauforting lineup is the Beauforting Brune, a perfectly balanced brew with hints of roasted caramel and malt. It's the perfect, easy drinking beer for fall. You can stock up on Beauforting for your next tailgate or party at Total Wine & More in Greenfield or Brookfield. It's also available on draft at Cafe Hollander, Cafe Benelux, Cafe Central Sport Club, and the new tavern at Turner Hall right by the new Buck Stadium. Always like it when you show me your Beauforting. Tweet it at Rami is tweeting with the hashtag show me your Beauforting. Some did this last week, and I appreciate that. It's Beauforting Beer, Milwaukee's new favorite, easy drinking import. We'll hit a quick break, and you'll pick a lane when the Wendy's Big Show returns right after this. It's the Wendy's Big Show in the midst of Great Lakes Dragway. Pick a lane. Here's what you're picking from. All Brewers this evening in Pick a Lane. Right lane, could or should they have done anything differently? Left lane, do you think this is just the beginning of a run? And the return lane, what's the biggest offseason need or change needed? 414-799-1250 or tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Let's go out to West Allis. Check in with Alex. You're on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, Al?
What's up, gentlemen?
You.
All right. So I'm picking the left lane. I think that's what it was. Could or should we have done anything differently?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what you would have did?
I'm not saying that we should. I'm happy. I had a great season. It was a lot of fun. I watched a lot of these games, so was real invested. But are we valuing outs too much on the, I know Craig Counsell loves the out-getter and the way we value outs. It just looked to me we weren't very aggressive on the base path, so looked a little afraid to steal base. Not saying we should have bunted. That's not what I'm saying at all. I definitely typically don't agree with the bunt situation, but to me it just looked like at the end of Game 7 we were swinging for the fences, and you weren't going to tie that game up with four solo home runs. Got to get guys on base and got to get them, move them across. So that's my take. You asked the question, so I came up with an answer. Could we have done something differently?
I appreciate that.
That's my take.
Okay.
And,
appreciate the call.
Thanks for the call. Listen, I'm going to try to say this again because I was listening to MLB Radio over the weekend, and I was ready to punch MLB Radio on my car.
No violence, dude.
So they're sitting there talking about how they think this is bad for baseball, how fans don't like it and aren't going to like it, and da-da-da-da-da. This is a way for small market teams to be able to win baseball games without spending $20 to $30 million a year on a starting pitcher. And Dallas Keuchel, who came out and ripped the Brewers and everybody else for doing this, is mad because he's about to go into free agency, and if other teams get on this bandwagon of, I don't need to spend $30 million on you, I could spend $7, $8 million on two or three different pitchers and get just as much, if not better, out of them and the bullpen, and take care of that way, and then not spend nearly as much in my rotation going forward. So, yeah, the starting pitchers don't like this. John Smoltz doesn't like it. Most starting pitchers in baseball today probably don't like it if they're not on the team, because it's going to cost them money if other teams can make this work similarly to the Brewers. The difference is other teams don't have Josh Hader. And that truly was the difference maker in this bullpen. So if you don't have one of these guys in your bullpen that's lights out every time he comes out there and can pitch multiple innings like Hader, it's going to be a little bit more difficult for them. But this whole outgetter thing of Council, whatever else, it's small market way of doing things. If they could afford to have two guys that are making $20 to $30 million a year, you don't think he'd prefer that? Of course he would. He'd much rather have that than having to piecemeal it the way he's doing it. But this is the way that him and Stearns and Matt Arnold came up with making this thing work for the payroll that they have that Leroy keeps harping on time and time again. As far as the Dodgers are on $200 million in payroll, you're barely over $100 million, and you're supposed to be able to compete with them. Mm-hmm. You took them to Game 7 of the NLCS. So that's what why this is the way it is. If Woodruff, Peralta, and Burns all turn out to be really good pitchers, you're not going to see this crap anymore. That'll be the end of it.
Like I said to Seth earlier, I still don't think you'll see a lot of change in the philosophy of not letting pitchers face the order a third time
and
through.
And that's even based if on analytics across baseball. That's not a Brewers thing.
Right.
Okay. But that's baseball.
Right.
I'm just talking about everybody getting mad about Brewers bullpenning and all this crap. That is going to stop once you get starting pitchers that can consistently do what they do.
I still think you'll get a heavy dose of bullpen in the postseason. I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. Even more so than we'll see in the regular season.
So we'll see this in the Dodger Red Sox series.
Maybe not to this extent, but
the World Series. You think the Red Sox are going to do this stuff?
No, because neither of them have a bullpen like the Brewers. I think
the Dodgers bullpen pitched really well.
They're not as good as the Brewers. I know that they matched them pitch for pitch in one series. Yeah, but I'm just saying overall, big picture, they don't have the Brewers bullpen. I think And very few teams will have a bullpen that strong. But when you do, or even one close to as strong as that, you're going to see a heavy dose of bullpen and bullpenning continue in the postseason. This is four straight postseasons that we've seen this. At least one team employ this strategy. That's not going to change anytime soon. But, Leroy, if the Brewers do make the changes, the improvements that we're talking about, maybe we're talking about jewelry this time next year instead of coming up short.
We were close. Mm-hmm. We were close. And I think that's what we're going to build on that. But if you've already got to the point to where you're thinking about popping the question to your young lady, you may need to start thinking about where you're going to get the jewelry from. And I would suggest you go to the jewelry center, as I did. We were trying to get David Battiari to commit for that, but smart him, he just kind of danced around it and did the best thing. Just stay quiet. But if you wanted to always...
Girl was standing right there.
I know. I didn't know she was there. That was amazing. Because he just asked her who's had the best hair else. Phenomenal. They have a location in Burlington, 349 North Pine Street. That's in Burlington. In Brookfield, they have a location, 17100 West Blue Mound Road, Suite 206. And they also have a place in Greenfield, 7477 West Layton Avenue. If you have some extra gold laying around, you need some extra cash for the holidays, this is the place for you. If you're thinking about maybe, you want to get your husband something, buy him a watch or something like that, I have something for you. It's called a Leap Watch. You can go to shoptjc.com, or you can just go to leapwatch.com and order the 25th anniversary Leap Watch. 25 years when I first did the Leap. And you get a chance to have something that no one else will have. And we have just a few left. So you want to be one of those people to say, hey, I got it first when it first came out. The Jewelry Center has been doing this for a long time, guys. They have certified people to go over there, look at what you want, give you the most cash for your gold. And they'll be able to get you things that, you may be shopping for online. Go to shoptjc.com, and you can pick out some of the things that you want. Sometimes you can view it online first, go in and tell Dean, I saw this online, this is what I want to get. And they have some of the best people to work, to help you. In all three locations. So it's the Jewelry Center. Go talk to Dean. He'll hook you up.
Final segment, Wendy's Big Show. Bill Michaels Huddle, Lodge Kohler Huddle, I should say, coming up in just a few minutes. Mason Crosby, Bill's guest. This segment of the show brought to you by Mantality.
MantalityLowTUSA.com, guys. I have a place that'll make you feel like you're in your 30s again. It's Low T USA. That's mentality. And they take insurance.
We were talking with David Bakhtiari earlier. He won't be on tomorrow at his normal time because they'll be practicing at that time. So we got him a day earlier. And Leroy, we were talking about the girlfriend situation, et cetera, et cetera. And he said that he plans on marrying her. I didn't want to press the dude on this.
Was standing right there.
I'm not the dude to press anybody on this type of thing, given my personal life and love life, et cetera.
Hey, boo boo!
If you already are decided that you're gonna ask this woman to marry you, why put it off? Just do it. Just get it over with and do it, right?
Yeah, you gotta make sure it's right though. It takes time for that.
There could be some changes.
It could be. It could be.
What kind of changes you talking about, baby Tosh?
I don't know what he's talking about. I'm talking about grown man changes. I don't know. This is just a kid playing around in a place sandbox. He ain't trying to do that bad.
I fit in any sandbox?
Our thanks to David Bakhtiari for joining us, as well as Green Bay football insider Ryan Wood. Seth Everett, our national baseball insider. If you missed that or anything on today's show, check out Fan On Demand at 1057FMTheFan.com. That's presented by John Paul's Buick GMC, Highway 100 in Greenfield. Like I said, the Lodge Kohler kickoff coming up next. Mason Crosby, Bill's special guest this evening. And then tonight, after the Bucks game, we got a pick and save pro basketball postgame show.
Pro Hoops postgame show
tonight. My apologies.
Whoop the Knicks, probably be done by start of the fourth.
Cool. And then tune into Sparky. Give him a call afterwards.
We'll talk about the arena maybe.
For Sparky, Leroy, Baby Tosh, intern Mother Plucker, Ram Rami saying thanks. Talk to you tomorrow, 2 o'clock.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.